Hey everybody, thanks for joining me today. So today's video blog is going to be both a quick reminder to existing contractors and kind of a heads up to new government contractors about four sets of rules that government contractors need to be mindful of if they plan to outsource or subcontract some of their work to foreign companies. So I think it's pretty clear that supply chains increasingly have become more and more globalized over the last 20 or 30 years. And every few years, there are tremors or shocks to U.S. supply chains like the COVID-19 pandemic or the bridge collapse in the Port of Baltimore that expose just how dependent companies in the U.S. have grown to foreign suppliers. Now, while we have this general trend in the commercial marketplace toward globalization, in the government marketplace, we have cross or reverse currents that government contractors have to be aware of that may require them to avoid foreign vendors and subcontractors. And so today I just want to touch briefly on four of these reverse currents, which come in the form of rules and regulations. So the first set of rules I'll touch on today are the Buy American rules. Now, we will be covering the Buy American rules in more detail in an upcoming webinar. So again, we're just giving some brief highlights for now. Now, the Buy American rules in government contracting are incorporated in FAR Part 25. And that part not only incorporates the Buy American Act, it also incorporates a few executive orders that are intended to increase spending on goods that are made in the U.S. So the Buy American rules restrict the acquisition of supplies that are not domestic end products. And a domestic end product is an item that has to not only be made or manufactured in the U.S., its component parts also have to meet a minimum threshold for how much of the parts or components are from the U.S. So three more points on the Buy American rules. First, the Buy American rules do not apply to services. They only apply to supplies and materials. So for example, if a government contractor is an IT company that offers some kind of management platform or management services, and that IT company outsources some or all of the software development or IT support to a foreign subcontractor, well, that arrangement is not restricted under the Buy American rules. Now, there may be other restrictions on that arrangement, and we'll touch on a few in a little bit. Now, second, there are a number of carve-outs and exceptions to the Buy American rules, including an exception for IT products that are commercial products and exceptions for products foreign products that are covered by trade agreements. And then lastly, the Buy American restrictions under FAR, they're not flat-out bans against procurement of foreign products or the use of foreign-made components. Instead, the restrictions come in the form of a price enhancement or penalty that's applied to the bid price of a product that does not meet the domestic product requirements. So this price penalty or enhancement obviously puts the bidder at a pricing disadvantage at the bidding stage. And as a practical matter, the enhancements, which could add as much as 30% or more to the bid price, might in a lot of circumstances keep the bidder from winning the bid or getting the award. But that might not always be the case, especially in circumstances when there are no other bidders. And again, we'll touch more on this in an upcoming webinar on the Buy American rules. So the second set of rules that can inhibit or restrict a government contractor's use of foreign suppliers are export control rules like ITAR and EAR. Now, ITAR stands for the International Traffic in Arms Regulations, and EAR stands for the Export Administration Regulations. And we have some video blogs on our website that cover ITAR and EAR in more detail. But in a nutshell, ITAR and EAR prohibit companies from exporting certain kinds of items without some form of export license or government agreement, including components that can be used in equipment and certain types of technology. So you might ask, well, what do restrictions on exports have to do with the use of foreign supplies or services here in the U.S. during a procurement? Well, one obvious example of the connection is if there's some sort of round trip that occurs during the development or manufacturing stage. So if, for example, a part of a contractor's manufacturing or development process involves sending some components out to a foreign subcontractor before they are then integrated here in the U.S. for delivery, Well, then clearly, the contractor has to comply with any export control requirements before it sends those components to its foreign subcontractor. But ITAR and EAR don't just restrict the transfer of controlled hardware or tangible items. They also restrict the transfer of certain information about controlled items. So, for example, in the case of a contractor that's developing a system or a component that's controlled by ITAR or EAR, if it's relying on a foreign subcontractor for some sort of support, maybe software development or maybe IT support or maybe just consulting services, well, if the contractor has to send information about those controlled items, like specifications or drawings, to the foreign contractor in order to get that support, it's going to have to make sure that it complies with any ITAR and EAR restrictions before transmitting that information. Now, the consequences of going forward with outsourcing to a foreign supplier or subcontractor that results in an ITAR and EAR violation can be pretty severe, and in some egregious circumstances can include criminal penalties. So contractors need to be mindful of those ITAR and EAR third rails if they're working with foreign vendors. So the next set of rules I want to talk about are cybersecurity safeguarding rules that apply to federal government contractors. And again, we have more detailed information on our website covering cybersecurity standards, which we'll continue to update. But briefly, there are rules under both FAR and DFARS that require civilian and defense agency contractors to comply with certain cybersecurity standards. Now, these cybersecurity safeguarding requirements are supposed to be flowed down to subcontractors in subcontract agreements. So if a company is thinking about outsourcing to a foreign subcontractor some or part of its product development, or, for example, in the case of a software services company, part of the code development, well, it needs to make sure at a minimum that its foreign partner is going to agree to abide by the U.S. standards. But apart from obtaining agreement to comply with the cybersecurity rules, government contractors also should have some sort of verification of compliance. Now, one way that government contractors often obtain verification of compliance with requirements that are flowed down to subcontractors is by requiring the subcontractors to submit assertions that they're meeting the requirements. But in the not-too-distant future, with CMMC about to become a reality for defense contractors, a simple assertion of meeting safeguarding requirements is not going to be enough. When CMMC starts making its way into defense contracts, subcontractors, including foreign subcontractors, are going to have to meet the CMMC certification requirements under the contract. So government contractors that work with or rely on foreign companies that are unwilling or unable to meet the certification requirements may have to find alternative vendors or subcontractors. So the last set of rules that I want to highlight today are what might be called banned supplier rules. So apart from the suppliers that are on the excluded party list in SAM, which includes contractors that have been suspended or debarred, over the last few years, there have been a few rules implemented into the FAR that ban contractors from working with certain, and in some instances, more visible foreign companies. Now, typically, these banned supplier rules have been tacked on to the end of FAR Part 4. So we had a rule in 2018 that prohibited contractors from using software and services that are offered by Kaspersky Labs. And then in 2019, we had another rule that was added to FAR that banned contractors from using telecommunications and surveillance and video equipment from a handful of Chinese companies, including Huawei. And then more recently, in 2023, FAR was amended to prohibit the use of applications developed by ByteDance, including TikTok. And then earlier this year, the House of Representatives passed a ban on drones that are developed by DJI, and that legislation is still working its way through the Senate. But it's very possible that at some point in the near future, there may be some form of government contractor restriction against using DJI drones and equipment. Now, these targeted banned supplier rules under FAR all include mandatory flowdown provisions. So government contractors not only have to avoid using the banned suppliers during contract performance, they have to make sure that their suppliers, including foreign vendors, agree to refrain from using the prohibited suppliers as well. Well, that's all I have for today's vlog. Thanks for joining me, and look out for our future webinars covering the Buy American rules and other issues that are important to government contractors.